June 8th, 2012. It's the Lullabot Podcast.
Lullabot Podcast.
I'm Jeff Robbins, back with Lullabot Podcast number 103. This week we're going to be talking about the state of Views, the Views module. Everyone knows the Views module if you work with Drupal. There's been some talk about getting Views into core for Drupal 8, and we're going to talk about that. I'm here with...
Jeff Eaton.
And...
James Sansbury.
And also...
Earl Miles.
Earl Miles!
Woohoo! The man himself.
Did you just say that Views is the 51st state? I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, what
it's
I said.
The fifth state of matter.
Oh, got it. So it's solid. I like that.
So for people that don't know, Earl Miles, Earl is the maintainer, the originator, the creator, the godfather of the Views module, as well as panels and... Oh, lots of other fun Drupal modules, and I can never quite tell what's in style and what's out of style. I like NodeQ. Is that still state of the art?
Maybe. People are still using it, but, you know...
There's, like, draggable views and other ways of doing this mode kind of stuff. And
I like the blink tag.
Who does it, really?
Represent, James. Represent.
Is that a module...
No.
If not, it needs to be.
The blink tag module just adds blink tags to all... H3 tags.
Jeff, I expect that done by the end of the podcast.
Yes.
I'm on it.
Marquees. I want the whole page, just a marquee tag around the body.
Wrap the body tag in a marquee
tag. Yes, exactly.
So Joe Schindler actually already created a marquee tag example that uses a lot of the altering functions in Drupal 7 that actually wraps every discrete renderable element on the page in a marquee tag.
It still works in a surprising number of browsers.
Oh, yeah. And it just looks like the whole page is just undulating.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about doing, education training stuff and, trying to come up with examples for Drupalize Me and Lullabot training things and stuff. It's sort of like it doesn't need to be practical at all. And, blink tag and marquee tags, they're just fun for learning.
And the opposite of practical.
Yep.
And I got to work the word undulate into a podcast, so yes. I'm happy.
Well done. Well done. Everyone drink now.
So Views.
So Views.
Views, yes.
Well,
Views.
Let's see. Let's start by... we will not assume that people listening to this podcast... have been involved in Drupal as long as we have. Maybe we could do sort of like a brief history of Views.
What is, if there's anybody like from other communities here who are, from other communities listening who are trying to get a little bit of background on like what's going on in Drupal, like just as a high level thing, what is the Views module for Drupal? Ooh. Like elevator pitch.
The elevator pitch, the Views module allows you to create lists of your content, and it can be almost anything on your site, and render them in an incredibly flexible manner. You want, like, the front page, the river of news, Views does that. You want a list of posts on your block, it does that. You want a list of users, it does that. You want a list of terms, it does that. And then it gets even more complicated from there.
It does. Cool. Yeah, we used to say, there were two ways of saying it. One was, creating listings of content. That was what you said to people that aren't database experts. And then to database experts, you said it's a graphical user interface for SQL queries on your Drupal site.
Yeah, if you've ever used Microsoft Access, it's a scaled down version of that for your website.
Right on. And crazy. Yeah, and you can do all kinds of, listings of one thing, which end up being a sidebar on your site and just sort of a way to kind of move things around on the page and all kinds of crazy stuff with arguments. And
these days it gives you fantastic control of your HTML. You can control what tags and classes and all that stuff it's using.
Yeah,
so
I've
you
been
can
I've been really appreciating that in the new version, like, because that originally started as like the semantic views module, right? And it was like this separate download that you had to get so you could have like complete control over the markup and the CSS and, or not the CSS, but like the classes and stuff like that over the markup.
And like part of the background for that is that when views, you know, originated, it output a lot of its own custom markup, and people were using it to like hand roll pages, so they wanted tons and tons of classes so that they could do all kinds of CSS tricks. But then markup purists ended up getting angry and all head up.
Yeah, we had some pretty epic fights. For the markup.
The Twitter wars.
Oh, no, it wasn't just Twitter. I mean, there were actually fights on Drupal.org and in a couple of forums, and they would get a little heated because the markup purists had no flexibility for anything other than their pure markup, which I can see their perspective. I understand that they want the pages they're generating to be beautiful, but the essential problem was, at the time, we needed to make views usable by as broad a base as possible, and heavier markup with more classes made it easier to just throw a little bit of CSS to get what you want, whereas cleaner markup, you can only do exactly what you want with it because you're being as lean as possible. And having a middle ground between the two ultimately required just letting you choose everything that's in it and trying to provide same defaults that you can easily turn off.
Yes, we'll never forget the views semantic markup wars of '09. Lest we forget our fallen brothers.
I lost a lot of good men lost their commit rights.
Yeah. But it, you know, it sort of sorts itself out over time, open source and all that. Let's do this. Let's do brief history of views. So, Earl, I met you back in 2006 in Vancouver. There was sort of one of the first Drupal. It was a convention that involved Drupal. It wasn't actually called a DrupalCon at that point.
Well, we called it a DrupalCon.
Some people did under their breath.
I don't know. It was pretty out loud to me, but officially, it was the Open Source CMS Summit.
And I met you there, and you were pretty new to the Drupal community at that time, but had an idea. In fact, I think I did one of the first Drupal Lullabot podcast interviews was an interview with you talking about your concepts behind views. Let's revisit that conversation a little bit, what made you want to create views back then?
I was bored. No, actually, that's actually seriously part of it, because I was bored at work, and I am a developer by nature, and when I'm bored, I look for things to do, and I had a hobby project that I was working on, and I was trying to use Drupal for it, and it turned out that while Drupal did a couple of things really nicely at that point, this is Drupal 4.6 too, so you got to go back in time to when Drupal didn't do anything other than nodes and taxonomy, to be honest. And it couldn't do a whole bunch of the things that I wanted. So I was writing a bunch of custom code to pull up, oh, I need these five nodes because I want to have this block of the five most recent articles. And I want just a bunch of little things that are dirt simple these days, but required me to write almost the same SQL query four or five times. And I'm like, as a developer, that always offends me. If you're writing the same code more than three times, then you should fix that. So I did. And I wrote at the time it was a 1500 line module called Views, which could do about seven or eight different queries. it had no ability for plugins, so it could do the seven or eight different queries that it did really well, and that was about it. And that was the thing that I checked in the very end of 2005 into. Actually, I think it was like October, so maybe not even the very end of 2005, but into my repo. And I had also posted it in the forums a little bit before I checked in. And the really interesting thing was that there are two people I can remember who saw it and went, oh my God, this is going to change everything. And everyone else in Drupal went, I don't get it. And Jeff, you were one of those two people.
Which Jeff?
I'm surprised by that.
Jeff Eaton.
Oh, Jeff Eaton.
Jeff Eaton. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jeff Hopkins.
I don't like know me? Really?
I was? Sorry, there's two Jeffs on this call. No, but Jeff Eaton, you were one of those two people who said, oh my God, this is going to change everything. The other one was Robert Douglas. And then the rest of the Drupal world went, huh, I don't get it. And I had a conversation with Vlado that 1,500-line module was too long. Awesome. And I had conversations with Dries that involved, but shouldn't it use the URL to determine what it's going to do and have this long query string? And
in the URL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the URL.
Well, you know, it's been interesting to see how both Vue's has changed over time, but also how Drupal has changed. And obviously how the Drupal community has changed, sort of like kind of sort of acceptable.
I think it's fascinating because, I mean, that was a period of time that a lot of people who've gotten involved over the last couple of years never really saw it, but that was a period of time when, like, CCK, as we know it, and fields didn't exist. If you wanted a new node type, you went into the system modules folder and you found story module and you copied it, and then you searched and replaced for the word story and replaced it with your own. I mean, and that was just the way it was done. And Vue's was a really, really big change because it meant that instead of going in and finding some code that did roughly what you wanted and copying it and hacking it so that it searched for your node type instead of somebody else's, you could go to this module called Vue's and say, make me a Vue. And that was a big deal. And a lot of people early on basically said that it was, they felt that it was just totally unnecessary cruft.
Yeah. And it produced inefficient queries and it produced ugly queries. There were a lot of people against it early on. And then just a lot of people who just didn't get it. They weren't either for it or against it. They couldn't immediately envision how they would even use it.
Well, and you know, right. There were a lot of, Drupal was mostly made up of pretty hardcore developers back then. And they sort of looked at it and said, well, I'll just write an SQL query.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need 1,500 lines of code for that?
Yeah.
I know.
Right. Yeah, yeah. and especially, like you were saying, like back then, how you solved problems was you wrote a module. You created an entire module to solve your problem, as opposed to now where it's more piecing things together and using the...
Or if you didn't write a module, you wrote a PHP snippet. I mean, back then, we had this huge archive.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
In the handbook
page. I totally forgot about that.
Of snippets that you could cut and paste into your little PHP filter nodes.
Oh. Remember that?
And honestly, that was the thing that Vue's was most likely to replace, because the place you were most likely to have a 20-line piece of code with a little SQL query was in a block, and it was simplest.
I forgot about that. Writing all the PHP in the browser. Oh, it was good times.
Step one, turn on PHP module. Right. Step two, paste this into a node.
That was before PHP module was even separate. Back in the day, like, PHP filter was just baked in.
Oh, that's right.
And like a lot of things was people would make a page node or a custom block to do the things that Vue's replaced.
Yeah. For people who are listening who thinks Drupal sucks now. It used to really suck back then. I kid. But
we joke because we love.
Vue's has changed a lot over time. But back then, you used to only be able to create views of nodes. Eventually, you became to be able to create views of users, and now with Drupal 7, things just get even more abstract. How has the relationship between Vue's? Underlying assumption here that I'm realizing that everyone listening to this podcast might not know, Vue's is the most popular Drupal module that's out there. If you go to the modules page, Vue's is the first thing listed. I would venture to say 99.9% of the Drupal sites that Lullabot's involved in use Vue's in one way or another. You know, it's just, it has become something that we just use everywhere.
It's now to the point where sites not using Vue's merit an article.
Yeah. And right. I would venture to say this has been the case with Vue's for the past 4 years. I mean, you know, it is just something that people use. And so therefore there's been sort of a dance between Views, which is a contributed module, not part of Drupal core, and Drupal core development. How has that relationship been over the years, Earl?
Just to highlight those numbers, as of right now, according to the May 27th number, 686,000 reporting installs of Drupal core, 459,000 reported installs of Views. And then the next module down is Token with 406,000 installs. So it's a pretty big gap even there, and then it drops way off after that.
And I would venture to say that those installs of Drupal not using Views are either someone who has some sort of philosophical reason that they're not using it, or more likely, it's, you know, those people who installed Drupal just to sort of test it out, and it's reporting back to Drupal.org, but, you know, it's essentially not even a fully installed site.
Yeah, I would tend to think that. There are a few people who will philosophically disagree with Views. I think most of those people should philosophically disagree with Drupal. So, honestly, I mean, if you think Drupal is a good package and you don't think Views is a good package, I don't understand why you're even using Drupal. You should be going and using Django or KickPHP or some other true Ruby, some other true framework where you can do those things. Drupal's not good at that. So,
the Views wars of 2012, lest we forget all right. Anyways. What is the relationship between Drupal core and Views been over the years? How have they influenced one another?
I think Views has really, influenced core, particularly since, Drupal 4.7, in part because every time I wanted to advanced Views, I actually would have to go in and change things in core. Most of my contributions to core have been because they're things that would make Views work better. One of the very first major impediments I ran into was I built Views for Drupal 4.6, and 4.6 didn't really last all that long from my perspective, because I came into Drupal at the very beginning of 4.6, and I didn't really get ramped up until 4.6 was already out. And at that point, the life cycle of a Drupal version was 6 months, which 4.6 was actually a longer life cycle because Drupal 4.7 ended up taking a really long time to get out because of this thing we all know.
A really long time here. By those standards.
By those standards. Because of Form API. Because it was a major, major change when we switched over from using form_select functions and instead used, now we got $form name equals type and all that stuff. And that was a very difficult package to debug, and it took a long time. That was a major impediment to Views because it actually made the forms really, really hard, because Views has an extremely complicated administration system. And the first version of Views tried to do everything on one form. When I did the Drupal 4.6 version, I didn't even have the ability to reorder fields. If you put, say, four fields on a view, you know, your title, body, and whatever other fields you had, and you said, well, I really want the title to come after the body, then you had to delete all the fields after it, then re-add them in the order you wanted and reconfigure them all. So when I went to redo that in Drupal 4.7, I added the ordering, but you end up with this very stateful form trying to remember all this stuff, and the original form API was terrible at that. So a lot of my early work in core was to try and fix form API so that it didn't suck as much for my purposes, and fixing the theme layer so that I could use templates with Views, because it was kind of a pain in the butt for people to do stuff with Views initially. I actually had this Views theme wizard in the 4.7 and actually the Drupal 5 version as well, which would create a template that you could stick in your theme for you, because it was not possible at that time for modules to ship with templates already created.
I remember one of the very first sites I actually did, like way before I even like got connected with Lullabot, was this little website that, you know, I remember at the time it was this crazy, I think I'm going to use this new module called Views for it. And that was a real pain point. You know, it was early on, but there were, you know, there were no real ways to override the output. And I remember trying to ask you, hey, is it possible to have blocks that take arguments? What? Why would that? You know, I guess, you know, we could make it do that. And it was a really like Wild West kind of period.
Yeah.
And it really was the dawn of a new way of starting to look at making Drupal sites. One of the things that you didn't mention, though, was that Views pioneered the concept of exportables.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I definitely always like have that in my examples whenever I talk about exportables, you know, let that being Views module kind of spearheading that in the Drupal community. And even, you know, so everything that we have now that's kind of spawned off of that, you know, it's just kind of interesting to look back at, on all that.
What's interesting is what I had initially created that for was not because I wanted exportables, because I hadn't actually thought of it in that particular terminology or even use case, mm-hmm. but what I was originally creating was these default views, which is why the terminology was default, that you could create and then modify from there so that you could start off from a sane starting point and create something useful. And as I did it, I'm like, you know, people might just want to be able to turn these on. So I created them as things that could actually work completely from code without you ever having to edit them. And it's funny, too, because my original purpose in that reappeared in the Drupal 7 version. There are now default views, but there's also a view, I think we call them templates. And they don't appear as things you can just enable, but you can say create a view from a template, and you get a starting view, which you can then modify to do what you want.
Right. Yeah, I vividly remember back then, you know, going to the export tab and copying all that code and then going over to the other site that I wanted to put that view on and then pasting it in and on the little import tab and hitting submit and being like, whoa, this is awesome.
It's like magic.
Yeah.
Drupal has always struggled with that whole deployment thing too. And I wish this worked for more than just things like views.
Right.
So now that we've got, the concept of entities happening, what does Views look like now? What are some examples of things that you can do with Views now with Drupal 7 that you couldn't do over the years?
Well, because we have entities, it's pretty easy to just create types of data that automatically appear in Views for you. Well, at least with the fields, you have to put in something for your entities, but you don't have to put in that much. And it handles relationships like the entity reference module doesn't need a whole lot of code to work with Views. It's just a little bit you need to tell Views about the relationship so that it can automatically do that kind of thing, which allows you some really complicated kinds of things. Like I just explained in a support issue, someone has a user and a profile attached to that user and a node reference and then another type of node with a node entity reference to a node with a reference on it. And they wanted to list users that had their profile with a reference that was the same as some other node they were looking at. And you can actually do that with the right set of relationships and adding the filters. It's complicated and fiendish, but because of the way relationships work, it is possible. Although you can make some really ugly queries doing that. That's one of the downsides to Views.
Well, I mean, that's always that ties into the whole like holy war debate that was always there. Back in the early days of Views, I think one of the complaints that always came up was that it was opaque. You were doing these things in the UI and you were making decisions, and if you didn't really understand SQL, you might not have realized that you were making a monstrous like 800 line, you know, 80 line query that was going to bring your site to its knees. And that was actually one of the big changes in Views 2 that I think came on the scenes, because when Views 1 came out, there was this wave of sites that actually really started doing large Drupal sites using Views, and then Views sort of evolved in response to that too.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to make sure that Views 2 had tools so that you could actually see the query you were building, and it would automatically time how long that query ran so that if you looked in your preview, you could say, hey, this is the query. And by the way, this query took 300 milliseconds to run. If you don't care, that's fine, but...
Right. You know, And not all of that is Vue's fault either, because you have all these contributed modules that have their own Vue's implementations, and lo and behold, you realize that because of the way it was written, you know, it's joining itself to the, you know, to the flag table like five times or something like that, you know? And so you've got this query that's, you know, taking 80 seconds or something ridiculous, and you're like, what the heck is happening?
And sometimes the answer was just, oh, go to this one CCK fields table and add an index, and all of a sudden you get a times 10 performance boost. Because CCK didn't index anything.
So Views over the years has basically become a generalized listing solution. And in case people don't understand, like modules can create their own stuff that they expose to Views that might be, so I wrote a URL shortener module that we're using on our lb.cm URL shortening website, and the module is called Surely. And I wanted to write it in a way that these shortened URLs, which are not nodes, could be listed. And this was Drupal 6, so we didn't even have entities yet. So I wanted to, you know, create a generalized way that people could sort of decide how they wanted to list these things. And so I wrote Views integration for that, which was an adventure.
Oh, yeah.
A fun weekend project. Yeah. And you can write other kinds of plugins for... Views filters and all kinds of stuff. And the end result is that you're kind of leaving it to the site builders and site administrators, that maybe the people who aren't really coding so much as configuring the site, you're kind of leaving it to them as to how they're going to list things. And they might even, you know, pull in other elements, like, you know, instead of displaying usernames, they'd display the user pictures, or, you know, other things like that.
And that's one of the other things that Views has evolved into. For some people, there's a bunch of different ways of approaching it, but some people actually use Views as a general rendering tool. You list one thing, but use the power of Views to render that one thing in a way that gets you what you want, because you can do so much of that from the UI. And also because Views can be completely exported and packaged with a module, modules like to support Views because, you know, say I've got this article module. Actually, no, let's say I have a module called Project Module, which you may have used on Drupal.org. It has a bunch of different ways of looking at projects and issues and releases and all that stuff, and it powers everything through Views so that individual sites can take the start that it gives you and then customize those to that site's needs.
Yeah. Have there been other, like, I feel like every 6 months or so, there's some like major new change that goes into Views. What have been some of the recent big changes in Views?
The most recent change is actually, I think, about a year old now, which is Boyan. I don't want to say his last name because I'll never get it right. Boyan Z created a form integration system to make it easier for modules to have a view, which is also a form, which allowed him to rewrite Views bulk operations, which is a fantastic module for using Views to create administrative screens. And that's been in there a while. We have not made major changes to Views in quite some time now. It's pretty mature, and we've run out of things that I actually want to do to it. So it's been kind of staying stable, more or less.
Well, and there's another use of Views that we haven't really talked about, but this idea of using Views not as something that the end user sees, but something that the administrator sees, because there are lots of listings that Drupal provides on the back end. You know, everything from new content to listings of users and stuff like that. And wouldn't it be nice to be able to rearrange those things or show different information, especially as Drupal is being used on a lot of real, like, high-end kind of websites where you want to have a really customized production workflow based on the needs of that particular company or department, or, you know, the sort of the way that people work. We do that. We do that a lot with our clients.
Yeah, one of the things that the Drupal 7 UX project really learned was that there is no one way to administrate your Drupal site, because so many Drupal sites are customized so extensively that the default administration we provide is not really suitable for your average content administrator that is doing most of the administration of the site.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So why has Vue's not been part of Drupal core in the past, if it was so awesome and everybody's using it and it's so flexible?
Back in Drupal 5, there probably was no ability to put it into core. I didn't think it was ready in terms of architecture. Given that it had grown from this thing I hacked together in a couple of weeks at my day job, the initial version of Vue's was usable but not great. So that's why in 2007 I set about rewriting Vue's to Vue's 2, which was a ground-up rewrite. About the only thing I kept in terms of code was the query generation object. The initial Vue's was very procedural, and I rewrote it into an object-oriented architecture because I wanted to make a superior plugin capability. And at that, I think I succeeded. I mean, you look at the number of modules out there that are extending Vue's in some way or another, and it's a large list. And that tells me that I was more or less successful in creating a good plugin system. After that rewrite for Drupal 6, there was some talk of trying to get it into core for Drupal 7. There were some architectural disagreements with people in the community, and to be honest, I think Angela Byron Webchick, who was the core committer at the time, was really afraid of a project of that scope. That was a point in Drupal where we really started dealing with the fact that Drupal's popularity was causing things to scale in a way that we as a community weren't prepared to deal with.
Yeah.
Which is why the contribution process for Drupal 8 has a lot of major changes. All the things that we learned trying to get larger and larger projects into Drupal core for 7, and the ultimate either half successes or failures of that led to trying to formalize the process for Drupal 8, and we created these initiatives and the allowing us to do much bigger architecting projects without having the problem of, say, everything being done by a small team in a back room where there's no community input, or community input being so completely divided that it destroys the project because you can't make any progress because there's too much disagreement, and we rely on getting a consensus when a consensus is maybe not possible given different opinions that simply are not going to converge.
Hmm.
How do you see that affecting Vue's? You know, I've always seen Vue's as being very light on its feet, you know, for how large it is. And, you know, you compare it to the just to Drupal itself, even, and the, you know, number of lines of code. I don't know how it compares, but, you know, just for how complex Vue's is, I've always seen it as very light on its feet as far as, you know, if a new feature request comes in, it doesn't take that long actually for it to get into Vue's. And, you know, I'm sure that a concern that's been voiced to you that I'd like to hear your response to is just like, how would you know, actually this getting into core affect that?
That is the most common question I get from people who've been around for a while and have were really present during the Drupal 6 era when Vue's 2 was being rewritten. And I was taking whatever feature request made sense. And I'm not saying I took every feature request that came along, because there were a lot that I said no to. Mm-hmm. But I did take every feature request that made sense and tried to at least prioritize it and put it on the list. And either I worked on it or other people worked on it. Like I mentioned, there hasn't been anything major new in Views in about a year. As far as I'm concerned, Views is more or less feature complete. There are a few other features that it conceivably could have, but none of these are particularly necessary for people to do a lot of really good things with Views right now. Actual real development on Views has slowed. Most of the Views development now is about continuing to expand Views, and you can do that in Contrib just as well. And in fact, a lot of that happens in Contrib because of the pluggable nature of Views. A lot of the issues now are go and write a plugin. The kinds of things that still need to be done in Views Core really are about making sure that it's possible to do those things in Contrib. But the actual idea of building a query and doing the rendering, we've got that down pretty well. And I don't think we need a lot of changes to that other than fixing mistakes that we've made, which we're going to try to do as we put this in core. So I think the agility is no longer a big deal.
Hmm. Interesting. Have there been other criticisms or concerns? The complexity of Views, maintaining that is a...
The complexity of Views is definitely a concern to many people. The only answer to that is, as we do this, we're going to try and clean everything up and really document the code and bring it up to core quality. Because one of the complaints is that the code may not be quote-unquote core quality because it was written by mostly me, although I have to give a lot of credit to Daniel because in the last 2 or 3 years, he's gotten over 1,000 commits himself. So he's done a lot to Views. Plus, in the last 2 years, we've had a lot more contributions from the general community as we've grown. So a lot of that code is not up to the core quality because it lacks the same review process, doesn't necessarily conform to standards. Although, to be fair, many of those standards were created after the code was written, and retrofitting some of our code to those standards is actually a much bigger deal than it sounds like. But we're going to have to do anyway for core. So there is that fear of the complexity. On the other hand, it's no more complex than Whiskey or CMI or Field API or a number of things that are already going into core. Field API is more or less worthless without Views. Let's be honest. If you have the ability to add a whole bunch of fields to an entity and have no way to do queries on that, to list them based on what those fields are, or to render them in interesting ways, then what's the value of Field API?
Right. And there's certainly the argument, I mean, here that for those of us, I'm making air quotes here, in the know, you download Drupal and then you download Views and then you start building your website. That Drupal is really not Drupal until you get Views installed. By including Drupal, including Views as part of Drupal Core, it would increase the power of what the novice person sees as Drupal.
Well, I mean, but it's interesting because, I mean, for me, I actually like launched on a little side project in the Drupal world to get a very, very lightweight listing page builder like added to Drupal 8. Just in part, just as an effort to like call everybody's bluff. You know, the idea was, you know, exactly what Earl was saying, you know, if we don't have the ability to build customized listings of some sort, then a lot of this flexibility we have in content modeling is sort of useless until you bolt on Views. And, you know, I was operating on under the assumption that there was, you know, a snowball's chance in hell of everyone saying, let's put Views in core. But as it turned out, the pitch that I made for that got rejected in favor of actually just putting Views in core, which was kind of staggering. Yeah.
Huh. So, I mean, there's kind of this this push and pull in the community, though, on things like this, where you've got the people that are day in, day out building sites with Drupal that are, you know, like enterprise-level sites. And then you have this desire to have Drupal be this WordPress-y product, you know, and Eaton, you've talked a lot about this, you know, and have, like, where you just get Drupal and you download it and you install it and you've got an awesome product like right out of the box, right? And you know that that contrasted with the people that like want this framework to build, you know, amazing websites with. And so, you know, it sounds like this push is more for the like building a nice product and less about, you know, because the people that know how to build sites know that it, you're not going to build a an enterprise level Drupal site without downloading, you know, 50 contributed modules. Yep. So like adding views on top of that really makes no difference, right? And so you know, for me, because that's the role I play, it's like, you know, I see more negatives actually about getting views in core because I do see views as being outside of core and, you know, being able to be more of like the community, more hands-on and not have to go through the churn of the process that core has to go through in order to get changes in. And, you know, a big thing that's been great is actually having a dev release of views that you can download and play with. And, you know, if views goes into core, that goes away, right? Because if you want a dev release of views, you have to download Drupal 9.x or whatever. And, you know, you can't just, like, tinker with views on your Drupal 8 site anymore because it becomes, you know, tightly coupled to the next release of Drupal.
That's true, although I still think that the actual rate of change in views itself is decreasing to the point where that's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. There are some real benefits to views in core that actually do make things better, in my opinion, which is core can actually take advantage of views. Core can ship with all of those listing pages that it has now as views rather than hard-coded listing pages and reduce that code weight. No one has to maintain that code. That makes it easier.
How many people do you think actually use those default? Like, you know, who is using slash node or slash, you know, user?
That's the point. Nobody uses them. That makes it really easy to just get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas right now, do you know how to get rid of slash node? Do you know how to make it so I can't go to your site and see that page?
That's how you know if it's a Drupal site or not. You go to some enterprise level Drupal site and hit slash node and watch the page just sort of crumble before you.
and how many sites actually go to the trouble of doing that hook menu alter to do that?
Right.
Whereas if I just go and disable that view, gone. Right. Even better, I can create my awesome open publish distribution or Panoply or Open Atrium, which doesn't want that view, and just not ship that view with that distro.
Mm-hmm.
Which means I can scale back what my distro ships with simply by removing a whole bunch of kind of crufty views or leaving them. But another one, you know, slash node is kind of a weak example because you're right, no one uses it. But one that people do use a lot is taxonomy slash term slash percent taxonomy term, I think, which is commonly used and is commonly overridden by views. Wouldn't it be a lot nicer for everyone if it wasn't overridden by views but was simply a view? It's that overriding crap that actually hurts.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, I'm trying to think of other listings. I think that's probably the best example. All the other listings I can think of would actually require views bulker operations to go in core as well in order to actually have views be able to take over the control of these listing pages.
And to be honest, I'm really hoping we get VBO in at the tail end.
Well, Earl, now everyone knows it's not a secret anymore.
Never was a secret.
Right.
I'm not committing to that, but let's be honest, if Views is in core and we're replacing all those things, a lot of people are going to look at admin content and go, wow, this page is a piece of junk. If I could make this a view, I have to go install a module to do that? No. I think it will be a pretty serious effort to get VBO into core so that we can fix admin content and admin people. I have a visceral reaction to the name of that page.
I think this is also one of those things that, like, there was a lot of controversy around, you know, some of the, you know, turn Drupal into a building framework kind of discussions that happened for a few years. But I think one of the things that was always really, really at the core of that was reducing the amount of stuff that developers building something really customized in Drupal had to spend all of their time tearing out before they could put in the stuff that they were really trying to build. And I think that's one of the interesting things about, you know, if we're using an engine like Vue's to build these things just as a starting point, there isn't all of this stuff to tear out. It's just Vue's that we can disable or enable or tweak.
So I'm curious, Jeff Eaton. So you've been a big advocate over time, and James, you as well, but Jeff in particular, as you are often so vocal, of the small core concept.
I like to call it mall core.
How does this? I feel like we should quickly define small core. Small core.
Given all the controversy, I really prefer to refer to it as squall core. But.
So the idea behind small core is that Drupal should be thought of a little bit more as a framework. The Drupal core download should be lean and mean and take out a lot of the modules, in particular that were sort of example modules that showed Drupal's power, and instead have Drupal core be nice and small and lean.
I'll try to keep this super, super brief. Everybody knows just how painful that is for me. But I want to emphasize that, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth, and the small core, I guess, brand has sort of been really, really, you know, I won't say tarnished. I would say that it's very fuzzy and very scattered because there were so many ideas of what it really was about. The people who originally started kicking the phrase around, you know, back in like 2007 or 8 or so. 2008 or 9, let's say. The whole idea behind it wasn't necessarily let's strip down the Drupal core download to, you know, this tiny svelte package that just has a 404 page until you start building stuff with it. It was more, although that was kicked around as a potential, you know, litmus test. Could you do that? You know, then we would know that small core had won. Not necessarily the idea that you would want to do
that. Not
that
Drupal had won, but small core had won, yeah.
Well, but the idea wasn't necessarily that you would ever really want to ship, like, an inert copy of Drupal that doesn't do anything, but rather the question would be, is it possible to tear out all of that heavily baked-in stuff that came from Drupal's legacy as basically like a PHP Nuke-style forum/portal site in 2000, 2001 to a, you know, more robust platform in the years from that, and then basically a big like content modeling, site building, and presentation kit that we have now? The idea was there was all of this cruft that was really, really difficult for people to tear out. And most of the time what they were doing was, you know, just ripping out stuff from Drupal core and then putting views and content types and stuff like that in. So views was one of those things that everyone said, you know, this is what, you know, let's say 90% of the sites are building with anyways. So how do we make it so that, you know, we're not just duplicating tons of that work in core and then bending over backwards to try to pull it out because it was never anticipated that somebody wouldn't need slash node or something like that. So
are you arguing that views might actually be, including views in core, would actually be sort of aligned with the concepts
actually argue that. And that's one of the things that was so contentious about it. Small core implied size. Like, if we reduce the number of lines of code in Drupal, then it will be more small core. The real idea was more conceptually, how many different moving pieces are there? How many different discrete tools are there to work with? And right now, everyone was using views, but core also has tons and tons of complex, custom, hand-rolled things built in because it couldn't depend on views, because views was the contributed module. So in theory, at least, the idea of putting views into core actually allows us to dramatically simplify the aggregate amount of code that anybody is working with when they're building a real Drupal project. Only Nixon can go to China.
only eaten can go to small core.
Something like that. I don't, I mean, it, I think there's still a lot of concerns, but I think that, yeah, you know, if it's done well and we manage to actually pull out a lot of those pieces, it's very much in keeping with that ideal of simplifying and eliminating the unnecessary just old cruft that we have lying around that's just dead weight for most people building sites.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, most of that cruft is like all these dusty corners of user module and stuff like that that just no one even wants to like go through and figure out workarounds for and stuff like that. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know that this necessarily will, it sounds like it's the silver bullet, but there's so much just random stuff in there that has nothing to do with views, you know?
Oh, sure.
I think we also saw a lot of this, too, with the D7 UX project and attempts to get, you know, better administrative pages and dashboards and stuff like that into Drupal Core to improve the user experience. And one of the biggest concerns that, you know, I think really amped up a lot of the people who were advocating for small core during the Drupal 7 release cycle was that they saw all of this work to build out functionality that could just be done using views and some plugins using custom built from scratch code in core. Because views couldn't be relied on, you know, as part of core at the time. So I think it's sort of, you know, a couple of different threads, you know, coming together. The desire to make Drupal core more functional and better out of the box, it almost felt like it was going to be just it was going to be a bad scene of slowly but steadily re-implementing more and more and more views in core unless we actually just put views into core.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you tried to re-implement views in core and make it a views light, the chances, the chances of it being disastrous would be very high, because one of the first things you do is say, well, this is a views light, so we don't need to prepare for these potential features, which means you would end up creating a system that can't expand into what views does and code yourself into a corner.
Yeah, and then you have to install views on top of that, and now it becomes even more bloated because everybody's using views. So,
right. You know, well, and then, of course, it's the question of, oh, well, do I use views or do I use this lobotomized core tool? Which we'll call LC.
So what
lobotomized is such a strong word.
we'll just move along. What arguments are we not acknowledging here? There seems to be sort of, although it hasn't actually happened yet, there seems to be sort of a movement towards a little bit more focus on, well, there has been a little bit of movement, but focus on distributions. There's the ability to host distributions on Drupal.org. We're seeing some interesting things happen around like the Spark distribution, where you're finding sort of more of the Drupal core people, Dries in particular, kind of involved in a distribution. I would assume that one of the arguments is, well, what if we just start including views, which I'm sure it already is, included in these distributions?
Yeah, I wonder if views is included in Spark. I have no idea.
I don't know.
But it's probably, if it's not, it would probably be the only serious distro that doesn't include it. Because so many of the things you want to do with a distro, one of the first things you want to do is actually give people their content in a meaningful way, and you need views for that. Or you have to write custom code.
Right.
You know, one thing I really appreciated from your blog post, Earl, was that you mentioned that, you know, this, the work that is, you know, needs to be done in order to get views into core is work that needs to be done anyway, right?
Yes.
Like that, you know, that we've got kind of two, we've got the exportables work that has been done in views, and then we've got that same work happening for Drupal 8. And, you know, these systems, like views has to start using the new system, right? And there's, what are some of the other things like that that are, you know, just, we just need to get this done whether or not views goes in core?
Well, there's the exportable system, which I'm embroiled in right now, and ultimately, either Views goes into core and works on top of that, or CTools maintains a separate exportable system. And either way, the work has to be done, and it either happens sooner or later, and sooner is better for everyone. Happening now means that we get input into how it happens in core, which means that even if the project fails, in theory, these underlying dependencies are better because of it. So that's a win, regardless of whether or not Vue ultimately ends up in core. There is an effort to get a plugin system in core, and Vue pioneered the plugin system, which CTools, then Panels, created a completely different plugin system, and then CTools put together a system that combined the best of both of those worlds. And Vue is actually still using its naive plugin system, and CTools has the much more powerful version. Trying to get all that into core using an OO model, because core is going very OO, and trying to reconcile that with PSR0. I have to admit, there's a big headache for me there, but hopefully that will all work out in a nice way that will make it easier to maintain all those plugins and handlers we have. There are a bunch of little JavaScript tools that we use in the UI that we would like to see in core. Vue's UI makes heavy use of an optional modal. It's actually truly optional. If you turn off JavaScript, and you can turn off JavaScript for just Vue's, then instead of going to a modal, you just go to another page.
And which basically means your grandma could use Vue's because...
on her web TV.
On her web TV. But where it actually ends up mattering the most is less that your grandma can use it, but if you've got some idiotic theme, and trust me, it's more than one person out there that does, that causes the JavaScript to crash, it still works.
Yep.
And that's actually kind of important. But we also have the cool little, what we call the drop button, which is great for operations, because Vue's have, 7 operations available. There's edit, delete, copy, export, couple others I can't... Oh, enable or disable. But anyway, there's a whole bunch of them, and if you just have them listed one after another, that's an awfully big list. So what we've got is a little drop-down-like thing, but the most common operation is there is a link, which, aside from making the most common operation only one click away, it's also a really big hint as to the kinds of things you'll find if you click the drop-down. And we have found that other than a minor accessibility issue, which we're trying to work on right now, that is a pattern that people are really liking, and it is superior to just listing a bunch of operations. And one thing I have to say, and I don't know who's responsible for this in core, but the current way of adding operations to a table in core is actually to add another table column per operation, which seems really strange if you might have items that have a different number of operations, because now you have to make calculations based on how many operations there could be versus how many you have. And then if you go in and alter that to add an operation, all those calculations fail. I was boggled when I ran into that trying to actually do that in core. Sorry, that was just a weird aside. This would fix that.
Right.
Interesting. So there's that. I've got a simple collapsible div, which works very well and could help us get away from our overuse of collapsible field sets. We're already getting away from that to some extent because we've got vertical tabs now, but we still only have one collapsible thing in core, and that's a collapsible field set. Why on earth would you want the only thing collapsible in core to be a field set? The ability to collapse something is actually really powerful. The fact that it's a field set is weird because field sets are only appropriate in very specific situations.
Earl, are you arguing for semantics?
What?
Maybe. But also visually, field sets are...
They're really hard to style, too.
Yeah.
They're rigid. So it's not just semantics. And we're transferring all the dependency system to states, and that might actually work now. It turned out states came in Drupal 7, but Vue's couldn't actually use them. They didn't support an OR. And we had too many situations where we wanted this thing to be visible if this was set or this was set, make this visible. And we couldn't do that.
Right.
There's a couple of other little systems. I guess the exportable system has an entire UI builder on top of it. That would be nice to get into core. Just because you have this very easy to understand pattern of, say, like image styles. That's one of the places I really want to see it. You have a list of them, and you have some filters so you can kind of look through them, some information about them. You go through, edit each one individually. That is the kind of UI that the exportable UI builder makes, and they're always the same kind of pattern. And wouldn't it be nice if I go and build one of those and only have to have 20 or 30 lines of code, because all I really need is to tell the system how to edit one, and the rest of it is just handled? That's all I can remember offhand. I'm sure there's...
Will views... So we've got, you know, dbtng going in Drupal 7, and Vue still kind of has his own query builder object. Is there any potential work on, you know, making just kind of combining those in some way, so that you know the dbtng query object can actually function as the Vue's query object?
I don't think so, because the Vue's query builder has to have some pretty intimate knowledge of the schema, and the dbtng object does not. Because the thing that's unique about the Vue's query builder, and that most of the code in it is dedicated to, is that it's a pathfinding algorithm. And by that I mean, you give it a table, like a CCK table, and it says, I need to join this to the base table or this other table. How do I do that? And the query builder goes, oh, well, to the left we got this table, and to the left of that we got this table, and it searches along the path until it finds the endpoint that it's looking for. Then it does all of those joins for you. And that's just something that the dbtng query builder is never going to be able to do.
Even with, like, foreign keys or any of that? Like, it just...
Foreign keys might give you a guess, but this information has to give you a definitive. It does not guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you guess and you're doing fuzzy, that means that some percentage of your queries will be wrong.
Right.
That sounds unpleasant.
Exactly. So there's no guessing. It is definitive. Either it knows the path or it doesn't.
Fascinating.
And it's a problem very few people ever have to think about, because Vue handles that so far under the hood that only people who have actually implemented it know it's there. And I would say roughly half of the people who implement it don't understand what they were implementing.
I'm raising my hand right now.
Right.
I mean, I think this actually raises an interesting, you know, point. Coming back to what we've been saying a few times, it's like, some of those under-the-hood pieces, although you can hand-construct different queries with the entity field query tools that are built into Drupal core and stuff like that, a lot of the heavy lifting work that Vue does isn't in those areas. It's in stuff that, if you wanted the functionality of Vue, you know, a UI-based, you know, data builder, you would end up having to re-implement Vue. You know, the stuff that Vue does and the weight that Vue carries isn't just because it's bulky or something like that. It's because it's doing a lot of stuff that, if you wanted the same functionality, you would just have to re-implement it from scratch. And why would you ever re-implement it from scratch?
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, nobody wants to build that pathfinding algorithm again.
Right.
Cool. Incidentally... Spark distribution does not include views. It's looking at it, it's very stripped down. It's a experiment in place editing and pretty much just that. So
for now
but in the future,
does it have marquee module though? That's the
not
question.
Yet not yet.
In the future there will be marquees. We will.
The history is cyclical. The marquees are coming back, man.
What's old is new.
Yep. Cool. Well, Earl, you have an article on your site sort of talking about views in core, and in particular raising some funding for that concept to support you. You've had some pretty impactful, high-profile jobs over time, working at Sony Music and io1. You're freelancing these days, is that right?
Yeah, I formed my own company when Sony... Well, the way that really worked out was because io1 is in the UK. When Sony let me go and I went to work for io1, I kind of had to form my own company just to have a proper relationship, because international employees...
I'm familiar with the concept, yes.
Yeah, the tax the tax implications are just basically insane.
Yeah.
So I formed a company, and then about a year after that, I realized that just tying myself to one company was not... as beneficial to either of us as it could be, because they were tied to making sure I had enough work and I was tied to them. And it has worked out better that I'm freelance, because they don't, if they don't have any work for me, they don't need to find something for me to do to justify my salary. But by the same token, if I have other things I need to do, then anyway, it works out really well. And I've actually hired my wife, Lynette, and her brother, Andrew, to do site building stuff. And we're doing some of that as well. So we're becoming a very small shop of our own.
Cool. But raising money for this would fund your being able to focus on solving all these problems and deal with all these dusty nooks and crannies that James and Jeff here are referring
and not
to.
And not just you, right? I mean, there's going
right.
to be
it's not just me. I mean, we've put together a team, and some of the team has employers that are giving 20% of their time or whatever, but some of the team does not have employers that are able to provide them that kind of time. So they're relying on being able to be paid so they can have time away from work. And in fact, they're my higher priority. I can continue to do client work as needed, but it would be really nice if I could reduce my client work to a small amount of time so that I can spend the amount of time that's required to really get this stuff right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. And yeah. And the more money that gets raised, the more, that will be able to be, focused and finessed and handled. Right now, as of the recording of this podcast, there's a chip in on both Earl's blog, angrydonuts.com. If you want to go to the – it's listed right there on the homepage, but it's angrydonuts.com/help-fund-views-in-core. They're always fun when you say them out loud. If you go to drupal.org/project/views, the chip-in fund is on there. Right now, $9,526. It would be great to raise a whole bunch more than that. To fund this team who will be working on this. And just kind of, you know, figuring out how to come up with the best solution that works in Drupal moving forward.
I think we've got a pretty good plan. I think we know roughly what it is we need to do, and we just have to be able to execute.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Great. We should plug your book, Earl.
My book?
Yeah, why not?
It's a little out of date now.
Well, you got anything else you want to plug? Don't tell people it's out of date.
Look, just go buy my book.
We'll just beep that part out.
You spent all that time writing the book. It's not out of date. How could it possibly be?
Because the drop is always moving.
DrupalBuildingBlocks.com. Put hyphens between the words.
Or don't. They don't have to be there.
Okay, good. Is where you can find the book, and you can buy it on Amazon. There's a link at the bottom of the views page that'll give Earl a little kickback, I'm sure.
Little
how you doing? What's going on? Referring to affiliate fees there, folks.
Yeah.
You spent a long time working on that book, and people on Amazon have good things to say about it.
Yeah.
Let's see. So, all right, cool. Ooh. Well, we'll call it a podcast then.
It's a podcast.
There you go. Ta-da. thanks, Earl, for coming on. Thanks everybody for participating, and people for listening. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.